Albert Einstein was once asked what he would like most to say to the science students in America's schools. And without hesitation, he replied, "I would ask them to spend an hour every day rejecting the ideas of others and thinking things out for themselves. This will be a hard thing to do, but it will be most rewarding." And I'm sure that Dr. Einstein was not saying ignore the opinions of other people, but have you noticed so often how that we have not taken such very careful thought about ourselves? We tend to let conditions or our peer group or parents or others determine things. And what we think have been our thoughts were really not our thoughts at all. And what we thought was the determination of the way that our lives were going was not a determination, but wishful hoping or wondering, sort of groping in the dark, trying to find our way, maybe. If you'll talk to the next 100 people that you meet and ask them what they want most in life, 98% of them will not be able to tell you. If you persist and press them for an answer, some of them will say security. Others will say money, happiness, fame and power, social recognition, ease in living. I would like to become a singer. I don't have much of a voice, but I would like to become a singer. Or I would like to write a book. I would like to become a minister. We're always looking for an easier, softer way, and obviously being a minister is the easier, softer way. There's nothing much easier than that. Or I would like to get married. That might be even easier than being a minister. But almost none of these people will be able to define these terms to you or give the slightest indication of a plan by which they have hoped to obtain these vaguely expressed wishes. You see, they haven't thought it out. They hope their good will happen to them, but wishing will not make it so. Prosperity, goal achieving, balanced lives do not respond to wishes. They respond only to definite plans backed by intense, definite desires that continue through constant persistence and through that person working on themselves, working on their lives. Remember that goal achieving is a science, and that the dreams and the desires of your heart will not happen by chance. In this universe, there is no chance. There's no such thing. We are in a divinely ordered universe that works by law, and you are one of its expressions, and you must understand and practice the law in order to experience what your heart desires. In these 3 weeks since we began our class together, I think that my life has taken on a dimension of excitement and joy that supersedes anything that I've experienced for years and years and years, even though I've been in one of the busiest periods of my life. I've continued to add to the list of things that I've wanted to have and wanted to do and wanted to be. And it really is exciting. It's stimulating. It's causing me to think beyond my thinking, to be aware of things that I had not been aware of. There's a tendency for us to settle down, sort of like a boat in the water when you pull the throttle back. You know how just for a moment it will continue, and then it will stop planing, and it will settle, and then it will drift. And that sort of happened to me, but now I feel like that I've really got that throttle pushed forward. And I hope you have too. And I hope you've been adding to the list of things that you want to experience, to have, to be the rest of your life. And as your days and nights pass, Let all of the things around you, conversations with people, what you experience if you go to a movie or while you're reading a magazine, let your creative imagination cause you to continue to jot down those things that you have not yet experienced but truly wish to. And at some convenient time, transfer those items to your list of categorized goals that are becoming your plan of action. Remember that you are creating through this list what will ultimately be your plan of action. Remember, our Creator was the greatest goal setter and achiever of all time. And we are created in the image and after the likeness of that creative intelligence that has formed and that is continuing to shape this magnificent universe. And that creative energy and power at this very moment is prepared and is eager, excited, and delighted about the prospect of being able to take your life and lift it up and remold it. And that infinite intelligence and power will find absolutely no difficulty at all producing or reproducing the dreams and desires that you can transform into a plan of action. Our Creator does not mock us. It would be cruel to give us a taste of the larger life, a vision of something desirable and even necessary, without at the same time giving us the ability or the opportunity to possess those newly formed things that are taking shape in our mind. I received a letter from one of you students who had been to a retreat earlier this year. There is a time when they ask you to write a letter, and in that letter, to express your heart's desires. Just to write out all the things that you want to take place in your life. And at Thanksgiving time, they mail them to the retreatants. And this beautiful person wrote me and said, "Jack, I received my letter today, and I could hardly believe it. Every area has been responded to in fulfilling and delightful ways, and in some instances far beyond my highest expectations." But remember that she had to express her desires. She had to write them down. And then, in her case, and I know this is true, this beautiful student has been working on her life. She's been observing herself and thinking about what needs to be changed, creating a list of goals, working enthusiastically and continuously. She did not just write these desires down. It's the continued activity of involvement with this intense desire to move forward into larger and more exciting experiences that I feel like has caused the quality of these desires to come to pass. But the universe has made provision for these kinds of things to happen to each one of us. Would you create the vision of Santa Claus with his reindeer and sleigh full of gifts stopping on the rooftop of a child's house and then hopping down the chimney with his sack loaded with special things to be spread out under the waiting Christmas tree, with everything pointing to that special moment on Christmas morning when that child would awaken and jump out of the bed and go running into the living room to see what was in that package? Would you cause all this to happen and then not produce the expected bonanza of treasures for that child? Would you? Could you possibly do that? Then neither will your Heavenly Father, your perfect parent. Anything that you genuinely desire is within the realm of possible attainment for you, because your heart's desires are the seeds of undeveloped experiences and talents. Now, experiences do not occur and talents are not developed automatically. They require action, dedication, planning, and the visualization and the feelings of those visions already fulfilled. They require goal setting, goal achieving on your part. Take the case of Pete Rose, for example, the outstanding baseball star who was formerly with Cincinnati. Now, you don't have to be a baseball fan to know what's been happening to Pete Rose. It's been on the front page, not only the sports page. And this morning in headlines in my paper, there it was, Rose gets $800,000 a year. This man is near the end of his baseball career. He's 36 years of age. And he has just signed a 4-year contract with the Phillies for $3,200,000. But there's more to that story than meets the eye. You see, early in life, when he was a child, Pete Rose decided that he wanted to become the best baseball player in the world. And he did not have all that much natural talent or physical ability. It simply was not there. But he had a dream, he had a goal, he had a plan, and he had an attitude. An unrelenting, unyielding attitude, and he had a joy in the game. He had a spirit. And here he is, almost at retirement age, having played baseball all these years, and the thing that he's known for, more than his ability, is the joy with which he plays the game. He plays like a 12-year-old kid. Every game is an excitement for him. And he does not mind the sophisticated ball players who stand around him not entering into the spirit. Today's article said, Pete Rose, who considers himself the number one player in baseball, Tuesday became the highest paid player in Major League history. It was my first priority, he said. It seems like they always, when he went with the Phillies, it seems like they always win their division. It's no secret. I've been an admirer of the Phillies for a long time. Philadelphia is the place I've always wanted to play. And now he's playing there. Rose immediately announced that he intends to lead the Phillies to the World Championship next season. That's my goal, he said. Not to win the division, not to win the pennant, but to win the World Series. And you know that I'm really going to be watching baseball this year to see if he does it, because I have an idea that he will. With that intensity, with that desire, and with his capacity for goal setting. Pete Rose, early in life, had a chief aim. And he was unrelenting. He was persistent in moving toward that chief aim, and he joined to that chief aim a certain attitude of optimistic joy. And I'm certain that he was hired not only for his ability as a ball player, for his ability to inspire a team, for his attitude, because his attitude makes things happen. He decided early what he wanted to do with his life. And when his baseball career is over in 4 years, when that contract runs out, I'm sure that he will make new decisions and set new goals and move forward into new and even more exciting and rewarding experiences, because it's not baseball that has made him. It is the system of ideas that he has used. Do you hear that? If you think that baseball has given him his fortune, not so. It is his ability to dream, to feel, to enjoy. And he has used baseball as the place in which and from which he has made his demonstration. But it could have been and would have been any other place, and it can be the same with you. How about you? Do you have a chief aim in life? What do you wish to do with the rest of your life? Now, you are infinitely more qualified than anyone else to decide what you want to do with the rest of your life. And you must, somewhere along the way, come up with some kind of a decision. And having made that decision, then you must convince your mind that this is what you are going to do. Not what you hope might happen, But what you're going to do, you see, before a goal can be achieved, your mind must come to see it clearly, believe in it, feel it, and hold it dear. I think I mentioned to you last week about the young lady who attended the afternoon class who had already listed over 200 desires, and today I saw her and it was approaching 300, and she had them all categorized and they were taking shape, and in each category she was rearranging them so that they went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Did I tell you that she had also recently won a car just 4 weeks ago in a raffle? Now, for 2 weeks before she won the raffle, she was frustrated in her mind. Her frustration came over not being able to decide whether she was going to keep the car or take the money. Do you see why she won it? And as a matter of fact, she was at the drawing and she told her friend who was seated beside her, "Give me room, because when they draw my number, I'm going to jump and squeal." And they drew her number and she jumped and squealed. Now, since last week's goal setting class, she spent 14 hours creating an image book that has become the equivalent of her new goals. She's turning her goals into an image book. Are you familiar with what an image book is, all of you? You see, our outer world and all that it contains is but the visible duplicate of our inner mind state. And if we wish to change our life's experience, then I must change my mind, my thinking, and my feeling. My self-image determines my life's experiences. My experiences on a moment-to-moment basis can be no higher and no lower than the invisible image that I have of my mind and of my life. What I see myself doing in my mind is what I will ultimately end up doing in my life, no more and no less than that. I am setting the perimeters of my life by the images that come natural to my mind. And so when you make an image book, you cut out words and pictures that are descriptive of the real you, this perfect self of you that is now reforming and reshaping your destiny. You may not feel them or believe them at the moment, but they describe how you intend to feel, because you're going to be working with these images until you come to believe that this artistic creation that you're developing is actually your life. You see, you are the architect of your life, and this is your new plan. You can create one page or several pages on various aspects of your life that you want changed, are developed, or expanded. And you can create pages describing your inner qualities, such as your femininity or your masculinity, your self-confidence, your spiritual characteristics. And you can create pages describing the outer or visible part of you, such as your surroundings, where you live and how you live your life, your physical appearance, clothes, and being an effective, loving spouse or parent. In other words, you define, you describe yourself through the pictures that you create. If you have a problem such as a lack of order or lack of organization in your life, you create a page affirming that order in your life. And enclose such statements as, "I am organized in all things." And then you go over these pages every day and really feel them. You visualize them. And you work with these qualities until dramatic changes take place in your life. Because the purpose of this daily exercise is to call forth these qualities which already exist in you. And as you do this, remember that this energy, this ether in which we live and move and have our being, is impressed with these mind pictures and with the feelings that you're generating. You're actually immersing your mind, this positive, not a negative, but a positive that you have created. And life takes this image with its feelings and actually produces not a photograph, but a living experience. You give life to your life. Color, shape, and form, qualities, movement, texture, experiences. And that's the way it really works. After class, a young man who has been working with these ideas for some time came up to me and he said, "Jack, I have been working with these things until my mind hurts. Why have I not been making my demonstration?" Can you guess why he hasn't? Can you? Some of you can, because you've been working until your mind hurt. Carl Jung, the eminent psychiatrist, knew why. He said, and I quote, "Spirit is something higher than intellect, in that it includes not only the latter, but the feelings as well." You're a spiritual being, and those feelings that you have must come forth and must take part, must participate, must actually form themselves, wrap themselves around your picture, just like a womb does around the sperm, an idea. And then in time, it will give birth and will send forth into the world, into the visible world, a newly formed entity called your new experience. I asked my young friend if he had done an image book, and he said that he had, and that he went through it and read it often. He read it. And I said to him, "You must feel it. You must live it. You must love it. You must get so excited about that image book because you believe it's real. You must walk into the images that you create and smell the flowers, feel the grass, and the warm breeze on your cheek. And if a new car is there, you must open the door and smell the new car smell and get behind the wheel and start the engine and slam the door and drive away." He said, "Can you do that?" And of course you can. In your mind, you can do anything that your heart desires, can't you? Of course you can. Now, going through every page and feeling the way you would feel if this was your life, how would you feel if you had an image book like this and all these things had already happened to you? You see, your five physical senses can only report what has happened or will happen again in your normal world, because they're restricted solely to contact with the world outside yourself. But your spiritual senses, your higher senses, your creative imagination were designed to help you to see things that have not yet occurred and to apprehend and create new worlds by causing images to occur in your mind and actually on paper, forming there this new world as you visualize it with the help of infinite intelligence. And then that infinite intelligence will take your creation and will cause it to come alive. Normally, our thinking is in the third dimension, and that dimension of width and height and thickness. And the third dimension also includes time and space and conditions. Our human mind, with its limited reasoning faculties, is bound by time and space and conditions, and by width and height and thickness. Is that correct? And you can get no farther than reason will permit it to go. Now, obviously, we must go beyond the land of reason into the world of realization. And I mean realization. The real I, the real self of you, must take your dreams and cause them to become real. You must realize them. The word realization means to realize, to cause something that has not happened yet to become so real that it must happen. We do this with our fears. We've had many instructions that said, "Fear not, do not be afraid, because that which you greatly fear will come to pass." Why are fears so easy to realize? Why do they happen? Because if you fear a thing, your imagination takes over and it becomes very real for you. And you actually anticipate, through worry, the occurrence of the thing that you have feared. And in time, it will happen. That which I greatly fear has become my experience. Well, that's the negative way of using the creative power that was given you so that you might live in a fairyland of continuing enthusiasm and of creative demonstration. But realization requires the doing away with time and space and all conditions. Your spirit is not subject to time and space, and therefore, you can go into this part of your mind in a now moment, visualize and feel that your wish, your desire, your dream has already come to pass, and you are in that fourth dimension. Now do you understand why goals should be thought of as already having been accomplished rather than I'm going to accomplish them by a certain time like January the 1st? Because that's in time. And the fourth dimension is timeless. It says it is already done now. It will materialize as I walk along the road of life, but it has already occurred. You are working with no time, and no time is now. Assuming the feeling of your wish fulfilled, so however often you think of your goals, as you're working with your goals, practice developing this feeling of your wish fulfilled. And the best way to do it is to imagine how you would feel if it had already happened. And then it will happen. Even if it means getting frustrated about what you're going to do with the thing after it has occurred. Eliminate the feeling of anxiety, because anxiety is the feeling that your dreams have not yet been accomplished. Have you wondered why more people don't achieve their goals? Why they stop short of success and turn back unfulfilled? Have you? Well, there's a natural law, a natural phenomenon that occurs in the third dimension level of normal life that prevents people from changing very much. This law is called, or we will call it, second force. For every time that you move forward, that's first force, that's first movement. Every time that you plan to do a thing, there's something that comes out to stop it. Have you noticed how that works? You haven't noticed how that works? You will notice how that works. Well, second force is a phenomenon that you can observe as a neutralizing or nullifying or the cancellation of the energy that you expend. In the world of physics, this law is stated in this manner. For every action, there's an equal and opposing reaction. You're familiar with it. Now, the same law works in the mind, because are not all manifested things, all physical things, mind things first? It's a mind law, not a physical law at all. It's a law of the mind. And here's how second force works to neutralize your goal-achieving efforts. I can give you an example. Jones, said the baffled office manager, how did you do it? You've only been here 2 weeks, but already you're a month behind. You understand that. Second force is not a force like a force that hits you over the head. It's the force that makes you forget in the morning early what you had intended to do late tonight. You understand? It's a force that starts off with great enthusiasm at first and then reaches the opposite cycle, which is depression. I wonder how I could have been so optimistic. It is an inertia, and inertia means the tendency of a body to resist acceleration. And the Latin word means idleness. It is non-movement, non-motion. You know what you should do, but you resist doing it. The example of one who has a desire and a goal to lose weight. For example, decide right now, whatever your weight is, that you're going to lose 5 pounds. And watch what happens in your mind. All kinds of things immediately begin to happen that will tell you how difficult that is, how absolutely impossible it is, and besides, it really isn't necessary. Second force can only stop us because we don't have a focused willpower. Our willpower has become an I can't power. I wonder power. I hope I can power. But now it must become an I can power. This afternoon after class, after the afternoon lesson, people came up to me with so many examples of how second force works. And one young man was telling me that not long ago he had an opportunity, the greatest opportunity that he's ever had in his life. It came suddenly in a conversation. His dream was there before him. All he had to do was to say yes. And immediately in his mind, as quick as a flash, came this series of alibis and excuses. He heard himself denying this opportunity and explaining very carefully to the person who had given it to him why it would not be possible for him to take advantage of this time. And he said, every word that I was saying was an absolute lie. I was saying it because of my fear of criticism. What would people think? Can you think of some examples of how second force works in your mind to cause you to not move forward into the land of your dreams? It's always there. It's natural in the three-dimensional world, and if you do not see it, you will not make your demonstration. Now, there is a third force called God. There's a higher power that can neutralize second force and will. But this neutralizing force that changes second force does not occur unless and until you and I do certain things. Second force will always stop us unless you make a decision to do one or more things. Would you like to know what the one thing is that will guarantee success? Would you like to know? I've got a secret. Would you like to know what it is? Yeah. Listen carefully. This will change your life. To make a decision that you will persist, that nothing will ever stop you from this moment forward from achieving your goals. This must be a conscious now moment choice that your mind makes and that your feeling agrees with. The word persist means to be obstinately repetitious, insistent, or tenacious in some activity. To hold firmly and steadfastly to some purpose despite obstacles, warnings, or setbacks. I like that word. I absolutely love it, and it changed my life. Let's go back to my image book. First of all, let me just read you a little bit of my image book. Now, when I did my image book many years ago, and incidentally, I need a new one because everything that's here has already happened to me. And I love this book. I picked it up today and almost cried. I really did. I just adore it because I worked with it. And when I put it together, everything that is there was beyond where I was, to the point that I was almost embarrassed in the privacy of my own room to go through this image book. And I found myself saying, who, me? Listen to this. Who am I? A man who, with all his mind and heart, converts the commonplace of dream and desire. That was the first page. Converts the commonplace of dream and desire. The nicest, richest, most complete genius in the United States. High in spirits and knee-deep in talent. Where will he land? What will he experience? Everything that Jack has ever wanted. And I came to believe it. And guess what? Came to pass. Just like it says in this book, just like it's visualized. Now, up front, because I had learned something, I included the statement that's called the legend of persistence. Calvin Coolidge once said these words, "Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. And persistence is ready to color your world with happiness." But you must believe it, because upon the face of this earth, there are far less than 5% of the human population who know anything at all about persistence. Persistence does not come as a natural experience of being born of your parents. And you did not learn it from them. You usually learn it from adversity, but you do not have to learn it from adversity. Persistence is an essential factor in the procedure of transmuting your visions and your desires into goals achieved. You will never experience them unless you create the powerful determination to succeed. And it must become a feeling. It is not an intellectual thing. It is something that happens here in your feeling nature. The basis of persistence is the power of will. And desire and willpower, when properly combined, become irresistible. Lack of persistence is the major cause of failure. And you're sure to fail if you don't persist. Second force is absolutely guaranteed to wipe you out, but to do it in such a nice and polite way that you will try to cause yourself and others to believe that you tried everything you possibly could, but it simply did not work. And so what's the use of trying again? And this is where the human race is. Lack of persistence is the major weakness of the majority of people. Persistence is insurance against failure. And if you will persist with your dreams and with your goals, now persistence alone can be ridiculous. You must know what you're persisting in and with. Now hear what I'm about to say to you. Life lets no person on this earth achieve great goals without passing the persistence test. You will be caused to be stopped in your tracks or in your mind. Your dreams will seem to fall apart. Things will come out that will absolutely amaze you, that will seem to get in the way, to stand in the way as roadblocks beyond which you cannot pass. And if you take them personally, if you react with anger or with resentment or with disappointment, with any of these things, then you have lost the game. Persistence can be motivated by four necessary steps. And the first one is a definite purpose backed by a burning desire for its fulfillment. And you are working on that. A definite plan expressed in continuous action. A mind closed tightly against all negative and discouraging influences, including negative suggestions of friends and relatives and acquaintances. You will no longer be party to the losers. You're going to put the losers to one side and join the winners. And a friendly alliance with one or more persons who will encourage you to follow through with both your plan and your purpose, and whom you will encourage. And our lesson next week will take this up in more detail. Long before I read The Greatest Salesman in the World by Ogmund Dinov, I had caused my mind to come to believe almost in the way that these words will describe how I felt about persistence. And I'm going to read some of the most powerful words, the most powerful statements that my mind has ever experienced. And as I read them, I want you to join me in the total feeling of this commitment. Let your mind speak these words with the same conviction that I'm going to speak them, because I believe with every fiber of my being, everything that I'm going to read to you now. This is the way I feel about life. And nothing can stand between me and the ultimate fulfillment of the life that my dreams have determined. If I persist, if I continue to try, if I continue to charge forward, I will succeed. And I will persist until I succeed. I was not delivered into this world in defeat, nor does failure course in my veins. I am not a sheep waiting to be prodded by my shepherd. I am a lion, and I refuse to talk, to walk, to sleep with the sheep. I will hear not those who weep and complain, for their disease is contagious. Let them join the sheep. The slaughterhouse of failure is not my destiny. I will persist until I succeed. The prizes of life are at the end of each journey, not near the beginning. And it is not given to me to know how many steps are necessary in order to reach my goal. Failure I may still encounter at the 1,000th step, yet success hides behind the next bend in the road. Never will I know how close it lies unless I turn the corner. Always will I take another step. If that is of no avail, I will take another and yet another. One step at a time is not too difficult. I will persist until I succeed. I will never consider defeat. And I will remove from my vocabulary such words and phrases as quit, cannot, unable, impossible, out of the question, improbable, failure, unworkable, hopeless, and retreat. For they are the words of fools. I will avoid despair. But if this disease of the mind should infect me, then I will work on in despair. I will toil and I will endure. I will ignore the obstacles at my feet and I will keep my eyes on the goals above my head. For I know that where dry desert ends, green grass grows. I will persist until I succeed. I will try and try again. Each obstacle I will consider as a mere detour to my goal, and I will persist and develop my skills as the mariner develops his by learning to ride out the wrath of each storm. I will persist, and I will succeed. Henceforth, I will learn and apply another secret of those who excel. Never will I allow any day to end with a failure. Thus will I plant the seed of tomorrow's success. I will persist. And I will succeed. Nor will I allow yesterday's success to lull me into today's complacency. For this is the great foundation of failure. I will forget the happenings of the day that is gone, whether they were good or bad, and greet the new sun with confidence that this will be the best day of my life. So long as there is breath in me, that long will I persist. For now I know one of the greatest principles of success. If I persist long enough, I will win. I will persist, and I will win. Nothing on earth can defeat me. And that's the way it really is.